Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Fontenier. I'm excited to be here today to share a portion of my dissertation research with you, talking about irrigation requirements for establishing tall fescue. So, by means of introduction, as we come here this year and we focus on managing global resources for a secure future, certainly turfgrass is no exception to the rule, especially when it comes to using water and irrigation and talking about water conservation. And with that comes many important questions and concerns that we often have. And when, for the focus of my research today, talking about establishment, we want to know how much water is actually required for turfgrass establishment from seed. And additionally, what are some current scientific recommendations for establishing turfgrass from seed when it comes to irrigation practices? And furthermore, are differences in drought tolerance from previous research on mature turfgrasses are the same differences observed during the establishment period? We know that as research has observed that as urbanization continues to grow and increase in the United States, that this can have significant implications not only on water quality, but also on water quantity as well. Additionally, research has observed that and has recommended that in terms of turfgrass water conservation, it's important that there's no silver bullet solution to it, but rather we need to approach it using a holistic approach of site-specific best management practices, and this includes selecting drought-tolerant turfgrass species, improving our irrigation scheduling, and also properly educating the homeowner on irrigation practices. This is often conducted most routinely by extension publications and research-recommended guidelines. However, through a review of some extension bulletins from turfgrass universities across the United States, these are actually some of the descriptions I've taken quite directly from those bulletins in terms of the irrigation required for establishing turfgrasses. And there's a lot of just general phrasing in there in most all of these, such as they should be kept moist, the soil should be kept moist at all time, but not excessively wet. Upper 1 inch of soil should be kept moist with frequent irrigation, applying water frequently so the soil is moist but not excessively wet. What does that mean, really? What is the actual value or the amount that we're applying or the volume that we are applying? And a lot of times homeowners, they read that and or even just landscape contractors and turf managers, and they often don't measure how much water they're actually applying, and just put out an arbitrary or general amount as they see fit. There is a previous study, a research study conducted by Dr. Peacock in 2001, where they looked at irrigation requirements for establishing tall fescue through sod, or for sod, seed, and hydro seeding. And this was done using a linear gradient irrigation system for about a 7-week period. And it actually did this during the summer, which is important to know. Establishing tall fescue from seed during the summer is generally not recommended. But they observed that under the sod, the turfgrass establishment from sod of tall fescue, it was able to produce an acceptable quality or standard. But in the seed and hydro seed treatments, those results were not acceptable. And as I mentioned before, we have a lot of research that's been conducted on drought-tolerant turfgrasses when we keep this mindset of turfgrass water conservation. And one of the organizations that's been doing a lot of this research is the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance. And this is an organization of member seed companies and industry scientists and university researchers that identify and select drought-tolerant turfgrass cultivars and species using scientific-based drought screening protocols. And again, these are conducted on already established turfgrasses under various drought stress conditions, usually under a rainout shelter, and they're then identified as having superior drought tolerance compared to other cultivars. And therefore, they're considered TWCA approved. But the objective of our research, is to quantify the irrigation requirements during establishment for seeded drought-tolerant and drought-susceptible cultivars of tall fescue. So I'm going to go into my materials and methods here and kind of walk you through how we conducted this experiment. So this is done at our university research farm at the Arkansas Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Fayetteville on a native soil, a Captina silt loam, under a rainout structure. And this is the rainout structure I used. And you can see it's pretty apparent that the light was not an issue with the cover on the plastic. It's pretty similar, and we measured it to be about 95% of the DLI that's under full sun without a cover on it. Our experimental design was a split plot design, and our whole plots consisted of my irrigation treatments. My split plots were the cultivars of tall fescue. These whole plots were arranged in a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. In terms of the tall fescue cultivars I used RK4, which is a TWCA-approved variety, and Rebel Exeter, which at this time is not a TWCA-approved variety. And we seeded these by hand at the rate of 390.6 kilograms per hectare. That's equivalent to about 8 pounds per thousand square feet into the split plots. And then we also applied an organic fertilizer application evenly over the whole plots at the time of seeding. So this is a photo just kind of demonstrating the size of the split plots and the dimensions of each whole plot. So after seeding, I irrigated all plots with the same amount of water on that same day with 0.64 centimeters, which is equivalent to a quarter of an inch, of irrigation to ensuring a uniform moisture conditions across all plots upon the initiation of the trial. And when we cover the plots as recommended, usually using a mulch, so we use straw. And then in 2017, we actually used germination blankets to help create uniform germination conditions to better quantify this data since we were conducting research. And then after germination had ceased, we removed the straw for essentially the cover. So this is further just showing the straw cover, and then these are our actual germination blanket covers. And so let's get into my irrigation treatments. So we applied irrigation based upon our reference ET data collected from an on-site weather station. So my irrigation treatments replaced either 50, 75, 100, and 125% of the previous day's reference ET. And I calibrated each of these daily before applying them to the respective plots. And these were actually split into two treatments during the first 14 days of application. So we were applying a high volume of water just at one time during the day, in those first 14 days as the seeds are germinated. And then for the last half of the trial, the last 2 weeks, we irrigated only once per day from day 15 to day 28. So this is a photo of me applying the irrigation treatments. I used a hose and a stopwatch and a graduated pitcher to calibrate my flow rate. At the end of this hose is a 2 gallon per minute nozzle, which again allowed a uniform flow rate, but also not to have big drops of water to influence the seed moving or disrupting the experimental area. And I used a stopwatch to time the irrigation treatments. So in terms of my data collection, after I removed the straw and the covers essentially, I used light box digital images to quantify the amount of coverage or establishment from day 15 until 28 days after seeding. And so again, this is a photo just demonstrating how I used the light box. The light box fit pretty well just directly over each split plot, and I was able to evaluate the coverage using digital image analysis and a software program called Turfgrass Analyzer. And this is just showing you what I see on a photo from the camera. I'm able to upload this to the computer and run it through this program, Turf Analyzer. And then it puts out an image that produces an overlay that picks up all the green turf cover that it takes from that image and quantifies it into the percent coverage or green pixels in that area of that photo. So in terms of my data analysis, I subjected the data to repeated measures of NOVA. I'm using the POC mix procedure and SAS, and separating my means using fisheries protected LSD. So going into the results, it's important to point out the reference ET that we had during the two trial years. So on my x-axis, I have the day, and the y-axis, I have my reference ET in millimeters per day. And so in 2016, in 2017, we have differences for the average. And 2016, we had about 2.5 millimeters per day, whereas in 2017, the orange dashed line for 2017 is about 3 millimeters per day. Overall, in 2016, we had a cumulative ET, so for essentially 100% ET treatment, of about 70 millimeters from day 0 to or day 1 to day 28. And for 2017, we had about 85 millimeters total over those 28 days for 2017. So getting to my analysis of variance for tall fescue coverage, for 2016, we did have a significant interaction between cultivar and day after seeding, and also by evaporator or the ET. By day after seeding, I'll be discussing those in the following slides. So again, on the x-axis, day after seeding, and on the y-axis, we have percent turfgrass coverage. Now, this is for the cultivar effect on turfgrass coverage. So the red dots indicate the RK4 cultivar, and the dotted red is the Rebel Exeter. And we actually do see significant difference as the trial winds up in day 27 and day 29. These are significantly different. However, it is important to note this is only about a 10% difference in coverage, which may be considered negligible in the eyes of a homeowner or even a researcher, even though it was statistically significant. The same data in terms of the access percent turfgrass coverage in the days after seeding. This is looking at the irrigation treatments with the E3 replacement levels, essentially. We see, as the trial progresses, that we see significant separation of statistical differences between the irrigation treatments. And with the 100 and 175% EG replacements, we had significantly greater coverage compared to the 50% EG replacement, with the 75% being about 34% greater in green turfgrass coverage than the 50 and 100 percent ET replacement being about 50% greater in green turfgrass coverage compared to the 50% ET replacement. Going into my analysis variance for 2017, the same data, we did not see a significant interaction effect, but we did see a main effect for ET and for day after seeding. And looking at that data and based on our data slices, we do see in 2017, at day 28, the mouse isn't working right now. Oh, here it is. Great. So on day 28, we do see, again, that same effect with 75 and 100% ET replacement being approximately each 27% greater in green turfgrass coverage compared to the 50% ET replacement. So this are some photos just demonstrating the differences, and I have labeled for us the ET level and also percent turfgrass coverage. This is at 28 days after seeding in the 2017 trial. We see, again, significant differences in very good coverage at 28 days after seeding under the 75 and 100% ET replacement levels. So in terms of my conclusions today, I'd like to just summarize this by saying daily irrigation in those first 28 days at 175% ET is sufficient for establishing tall fescue turfgrass from seed during those first 28 days. Although we did not see a significant cultivar by ET interaction, we did see... We do know that perhaps using deficit irrigation has a greater influence, as in previous research, on interest specifically on green turf coverage once these turf grasses are already well established and mature. Additional studies, therefore, are required and necessary to evaluate irrigation requirements for other turf grass species established either through seeding, sod, and also through sprigs as well. I'd like to acknowledge the following groups and individuals. And as well, I'd like to actually put in a plug for a couple of talks later this week. My professor, Dr. Doug Carson, if you're interested more in learning about turf analyzer in that program, he'll be giving a talk tomorrow afternoon at 2:05 in the Marriott Hotel. And also, as we talk about water conservation, it's important, certainly a big issue, and there is a water symposium this afternoon in this room. So with that, I will take any questions.
Maybe one question.
Dr. Brillman. Dr. Brillman's question was, did we look at seed size comparison between the two cultivars? We did not do that. However, they're both tall fescue species, obviously, and when I was weighing them out, they didn't appear different, but I did not take any objective measurements, just a visual estimate. But that would be important to know. Yes.